Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And we are in the second week of our series, The Good Life, as we're looking at the life of Job. One of the things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks in this series is when you and I, when we think of the good life and all that that entails, for many of us, we don't factor in the suffering, the hardship part of that we want a good life, right? A great house, great family, great career, great retirement, like just living life to the fullest. But what we don't often realize is while that may be part of the good life, one of the things that we don't often consider is this idea that the good life also requires that we will likely walk through some hard things, some difficult things. And that's one of the things that we see in Job's life. We see that at the beginning of Job 1, man, he is living the good life. Like, his life is good. But then life stops being good. And for you and I, when life stops being good, we can often begin to think that God has stopped being good. That for some reason, if life is good, God is good, and therefore I'm good. But that can be some faulty thinking. And that's where Job kind of begins to go next is how do we hold in tension this reality that we live in a world that's not good all the time, but yet we want to serve and worship a God who is good. And what do we do when we're going through that? We're often wondering, how are we going to make it through these hard times, these difficult times? And as we kind of this past Sunday looked at Job chapter 3, kind of the end of 2, 3, and kind of even looking into the next few chapters through chapter 8, we begin to see that there's some people that come alongside Job. And one of the things that I talked about Sunday, just from a big idea standpoint, is that we need help when we're hurting. That I feel like as I studied this text and looked into it, that was one of the things that I saw, is that Job was hurting. Job was hurting. And what did Job need? Job needed help. He needed not to suffer alone. He needed to have people walking with him. And sometimes when someone is hurting, we want to help them. And if you remember this past Sunday, is sometimes we can actually hurt when we're trying to help. And so one of the things that started off at the end of chapter 2 is I talked Sunday, is that we can engage suffering with compassion. We really see this out of Job's three friends, that they show up and they sit with him in his sadness. And I think sometimes that's just what we need, right? When we're hurting, when we've gotten that call, when we've heard that news, when we've lost that loved one, someone close to us, that just having somebody's presence with us, not having to really say anything, but just their very presence is ministry enough, and just to sit with people. And so that was one of the beautiful things that we saw here, is that Job's friends showed him compassion. They didn't try to correct him. They didn't try to address him. They just sat with him in his sadness. They wanted to show sympathy and comfort him. And they were silent for 7 days. No one spoke a word to him because they saw his suffering was very great. And that was an amazing job that they did. Because when we're hurting, we need friends. And they showed up for Job in that time. But then they opened their mouths a week later, right? And began to make some judgments around Job to really try to explain his suffering. And one of the things that I talked about is that we can, it can be tempting to try to equate suffering with sin. And we just can't do that. It's just not as simple as that. Oh, that you are going through something hard and difficult. Well, you must deserve that. Maybe God's punishing you, or your consequences. Sin has been a result of that. That if God's just, then obviously he's not going to, you know, punish the innocent. So obviously you're not innocent, right? So there's a punishment that's going on there. One of his friends even goes so far as to say, well, your children died. Likely it's because of their sin as well. And so it's a dangerous thing when we start to conclude that suffering is a result of sin. That can be a dangerous place for us to get into. That we can try to be helpful in some of the words that we say, and we could actually end up harming and hurting our friendship. And then the last thing I really wanted to focus on was that we can endure suffering, that we can not just go through it, but we can grow through suffering with faith. And that was one of the things that we begin to see in this book, is that when Job is hurting, and when Job feels the brokenness, that Job, what gets him through, what helps him to grow through this, is that his faith and trust in the Lord. That even in Job chapter 13, he says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job 19, for I know my Redeemer lives. It's in the midst of this pain and hurting that Job says, while I want to give up, I can't let go of my faith and trust in the Lord. That Job's greatest help in his suffering is God himself. Where does my help come from? Right? Where does it come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that was really what Job began to hold to. That's how he was able to not only go through this, but he could endure through it, not by sheer willpower, but by holding on to God. And we get to hold on to Christ. And so I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're walking through, what you've been through, whether you have people walking alongside you or whether you've had to try to navigate those on your own. I just want to encourage you that clinging and holding on to the Lord is the one thing that no matter while everything else around you and I may change, God never does. And that his helping hand, right? He will never let go of you or me. That he loves us. That while Jesus was forsaken on the cross, he was rejected so that you and I could be accepted. So that we could be welcome. So that we don't have to walk through it on our own. That Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You're not going to be able to sidestep it, but take heart. Because I have overcome the world. Because Jesus is an overcomer, so are you, and so am I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we do not have to go through life on our own, that when we're hurting, God, and we need help, God, that we can first and foremost go to you, that we can cling to you, we can trust in you, God. We know that you will not abandon us, you will not leave us, you will not forsake us, that, God, you will walk with us in those difficult moments. But not only that, God, as you've given us a family, a spiritual family, the body of Christ, Lord, that when we're hurting, God, we can have help from our friends. And I'm grateful, God, to be a part of a church that really values community, that really values these kinds of relationships. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep cultivating those kinds of relationships, those kinds of friends who truly do help us when we're hurting, God, and not hurt us when they're helping. And so thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. May you continue to comfort us, God. And God, we cling to you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and pray?